Okay, so Bert, what do your studies produce this week for ion?
I have a question about lowering the chi into the hara. Ion, is there a specific number of repetitions, or it's one time and it works?
Is this like orgasms, the ones all you want from now on?
No. I mean, want to keep it rolling, yeah. But...
Your point of the question is?
Is there a way that I'll know that I've lowered my chi besides the candles? Because I've tried the candles, and I see something, but I'm not that far away from it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We can get you there. If you're asking about a parlor trick, we'll help you there, because that's what... You're not really asking about lowering your chi. You're asking about why you're not able to ignite candles that aren't already lit. Okay, so let's start. You lower your chi, putting your hand up to heaven, reaching your hand on the side, legs apart. Make sure you're not bound. Make sure you ain't got yourself all bound up. Don't wear your tight drawers is what we're trying to say. This ain't the day for your banana hammock. You need something sort of a little more loose. You're going to lower your chi.
Okay.
So, lower that. Then, extend your hand to the candle. And the flame will move. You can actually flip your hand a little bit. And it'll be like, and then swing your hand to it. And if you ever do it and it doesn't go out, then half the amount of energy, half your swing. So, if you swing it and it doesn't put the candle out, then do half energy, half. Keep doing half. And the next thing you know, you can just flip your hand and the candle will go poof. And you're going, oh my God, I just put the candle out by extending my fingers toward it. And then take your little finger and lift it up. Now we're talking about several feet away, and that wick will reignite with fire. And if it doesn't work, you can swing it hard, like making wind to blow out the candle. You can do that. That'll push enough air through it to kill it. What we're talking about is your energy extinguishes it, not wind. And that's why we said get behind the glass. So there's no wind, and you still can do it. So you can't say, oh, well, that's just wind, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes it's easier with those big birthday cake candles. They're huge because there's a lot of wicks you can put out like 5 or 6 of them at a time.
Okay, thanks.
Well, now, don't say thanks, because that's not what you mean. What you really say is, fuck you, I'm not able to do it, so I'm not lowering my chi. And you tell me these things to do, but I'm not doing it. That's not what I want. I want to be able to do it. Or better than that, I want to be able to do what that does. Meaning, if I had done that, that means I would have successfully lowered my chi. But you haven't asked the question of us yet, the reason you choose to lower your chi yet. So, our answer of how to lower it doesn't apply because you don't know why you want it lowered in the first place.
Okay, can you outline?
No. And see, now we said something. Now you're just going to ask from the standpoint of our position. You need Bob. You need a good dose of Bob. That's what you're missing right here, right now.
Now, Bert, last week Ion said it was to direct it into the hara. Lowering the chi was to get it to the hara, that's all.
But he doesn't even know what that means, and he's embracing it, and now he's on to
I do know what that means.
Of course he knows what it means.
I know what
it
means.
He's a martial arts expert.
Then your question is for a purpose. Direct that purpose, and we'll get you there.
I've had experiences where I felt I've done this before, but not exactly with a candle.
That's just an outward thing, but it's the easiest of all the things to do. And so did you practice it?
Yes.
Tell us exactly what happened, and we'll help you.
I didn't use it far away. I just used it maybe 2 feet away.
And then what happened? And when you swung your hand, and the candle went out.
No. It was 4 candles, and I just wiped my hand, and I saw that the candles moved.
Uh-huh.
But I could not blow them out.
Then swing hard. You're 2 feet away. Swing hard. Make it as though you're causing wind. Because, see, in your chi, once your chi is lowered, it can make the winds blow. You're trying to come into this place, and we know exactly what you're doing, and that's why we're not being cheeky with you. We're being very literal, because we know you know what to do with it once we show you what to damn do. This is not our first rodeo, sir. However, we want to get you there, but the right way, so that it actually has an impetus to get you somewhere. You're trying to drive us to get you information to put you in a place. What you don't know is the place you're trying to get to is where we wanted you all along. So we're going to have. Here's what we're going to do. Take and swing your arm hard. It would even cause making a wind. And then you go, without eye on you, now you're just blowing the candle out. There's no chi involved there. But that's the place where you have now de-lit candles. And then once you do it, immediately light it back. Light it back. Do it again. And then do it again. And then you'll find out that you can do it. And you can just flip your hand and it'll go, and it'll spin at you and go out. Then you'll find out you can put your hand over it and you can raise the flame. Or you can lower your hand and drop the flame down. You can hold your hand and just move it just a little bit left and right and make it go toward your hand without any wind at all whatsoever. You can drive that flame. That's the control, you martial artist, that allows you to be able to do that. You can distend your body into crazy places, so why can't you shouldn't be able to lower your chi significantly? It will cause you to have perfect balance.
I've done that with moving the flame, which you said, of moving my hand closer and making the flame. I've done that before, but the extinguishing the flame, it's a challenge, but I see what I need
try
to
it.
Do now.
It's like if you're swinging it hard. Or, hey, you can have some fun. You know, the Catholics have those big, tall pillar candles that are glass. That always got a picture. And the candles way down in the bottom, and they're round, oval glass, so no wind can get to them. You can do it through those things. See, it's not about the wind. It has nothing to do with the wind. If your mind says it has to be about it, then okay, fine. But it doesn't. And then once you get your chi lower, then you're able to do that. That's all that we're saying. So practice that from a swinging standpoint. And then when it doesn't go out, half your energy. Half, and just play with it. Get a lighter or something so you can light it back. And then once you get comfortable and you can swing it, and say, yeah, take a candelabra and light, and blow out a candelabra. The next thing you know, you just raise your hand right back up, and it'll go poof, and it'll light right back up. Be smoking like a sandwich, and it'll go poof, and it'll just light right back up. Then you're going to go, oh my God, that's what them masters do. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Thanks. I have a question regarding lowering the chi, and it ties back to something you discussed last week regarding frequency. Will lowering the chi affect frequency?
It does.
Last week you were mentioning about within a realm there are different layers of frequencies.
There are.
Is there a way to change frequencies?
Burning in the belly. See, Dr. Dean.
And you said that our hearts are separated from our body,
Yes.
And that has something to do with us being separated from our power.
The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And what happens is your heart muscle is in a sac, and it's held in the pericardia. And the pericardium has fluid around it. It allows your heart to pump. But it's one of the only organs separated from the body itself. That's why it's one of the easier ones to transplant, because it's in its own little sac. The sac lunch of organs, as it were. The point of it being a separate entity is it allows the muscle, the heart muscle, is nothing other than a pump. And that energy that in the divides from the body allows ascension to reconnect. So once you're ascended, you won't be able to disconnect your body. And basically what happens is the pericardial fluid will change, all but solidifying. It'll change so that the pericardium will just sort of wither away. The heart will become one with the body.
Does our power lie in our heart?
No.
Does our heart need to be protected from anything in our body?
Never. Okay. If you could have destroyed it, you would have already. You humans, you're pretty tough now, we got to say.
And I would like to go back to your talking about the red tide and the bioluminescence. Are you saying that there's a relation between the red tide and bioluminescence?
There's going to be. It's not right yet. There's going to be.
And can you describe that? Because I've actually seen both.
You have fluorescence and you have bioluminescence, okay? So in that position, that's what makes it look red. That's when it blooms. Now, this is going to be a shift where fluorescence becomes, it's not something blooming in the water, it becomes the state of the water, the color of the water, not something in the water. But that's the only way we can describe it. We've done this with Dr. Dean. She gets all the good shit.
So when the state of the water is fluorescent, would it have a blue glow that we associate with that, or because the red tide would be more red?
Pigeon blood red. It won't be that orangey, that Fanta orangey shade. No.
Mm-hmm.
Pigeon blood red. Fanta, that's that pop drink. That's right. I've never had one before, but he's got some.
I saw it.
Saw it once. It was on a video commercial. He saw it.
No, it was in 1960-61 when that guy hit the home run in the World Series. I was in Boomer's store, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and all the little kids were coming home from school, and I was walking around. So I went in to see what all the commotion was, and they were listening to the World Series. It was the bottom of the ninth, and Bill Richardson or somebody did hit the homer at the bottom of the ninth. It was incredible, and the kids went all nuts, and I just kept looking at the new pop bottle, Fanta. Fuck, another fucking pop bottle. It's going to kill these kids. And I was totally distracted from the World Series victory of the New York Yankees or whoever it was.
Yeah. It's so funny,
at that
Bob.
Point, at that point,
let me mute Ion.
I'm going to meet Babe Russell.
No,
I'm going to meet Babe Russell one day.
Babe Russell.
I'm going to meet Babe Russell. But I know I will meet Lyndon LaRouche and prove why they made the bottle. And I'm going to build 5 bodies. And I'm going to have the quadrants. And they're going to be so fucked up, nobody's going to live in any of them. And because the 5 bodies are so distracted and so horrible and so not where I want to be, that they can diabetes blow their brains out one at a time, one by means of 2, until they're all gone, and then they can ascend. And then Joe Don Sloan can come back and take credit for everything.
I was going to say that's funny, Bob, because I was at a baseball game tonight. My first one, actually my first live baseball game ever. The Charleston River Dogs, and I was all into it.
Do you mean your first, like, professional-level baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, not a kid parking lot thing. Well, that's fun. Yeah.
Let's talk about Sheila now, Bob. She's so funny.
Okay, what you want to know?
Well, I know too much about Sheila. I have to bite my tongue all the time.
Yeah, right. Bob. You're so good at that.
Yeah.
I'm biting my tongue. She bleeds a lot, yeah.
Well, let's go back to Bert. Bert must have a new sobering question.
They state that rocks are mixtures, that they're made up of compounds and elements. Is there a frequency process or a process that takes place in the earth that compounds or presses and creates rocks? Would you tell me what factors create rocks?
Rocks aren't created. They are. You're acting as though you had to have a timed event of growing a rock, and there is no time. So either rocks are or they are not. And you're saying, but sometimes there are not rocks, and then we go, okay, show us these rocks that you grow. Let's take gravel. Well, gravel is made from big rocks where you chip it down and make little rocks. So you're not talking about that size of a rock or a grade of a rock, but all the rocks that are already are. From igneous to metamorphic to all the different types of strata, those are built in with the crust. They are just different stirrings of it and those different forms, just as though a diamond is also a piece of coal. The diamond is already also carbon. So you're asking how you make carbon or how do you make coal a diamond? It already is. So are you asking how do you make rocks? They're already rocks. You don't make them rocks. They're already rocks.
3 years ago, I visited Peru and Machu Picchu, and there's a stone city that's 13,000, I don't know how many feet, where there were rocks formation that were created. And the story that they tell how that was created doesn't make sense. So there had to be some form of process to create those structures. Those are actually solid rock structures.
Yes, they were.
So that's
carved.
Why I'm carved.
Yeah.
So the rocks were not moved. That stone city was carved.
It was carved. Yes.
Hey, Bert. After the music, I asked. I took some quotes from William Irwin Thompson about the gases that form stars. A quote describing that, and Ian said, no, there were no gases in the duration of creating stars. Stars always were. So all of the evolutionary stuff that the Hubble telescope claims it's getting, you know, about the evolution of our system, Ian says that that time stuff didn't happen.
You can change it because you didn't have a Hubble telescope.
Oh.
You made the Hubble telescope to catch you up slowly, so it wouldn't be such a shock to your system. And you're still going to be stunned. And, well, if we can amaze you, there's not too much to it because we're not being that clever. I mean, okay, it's pretty speedy, but nothing to write home about. I mean, this isn't really amazing stuff we're giving you here. But yet it's still catching your attention because it's a little bit of a shock. At the point of this interaction, you haven't even asked that. We're going to take one more time to get you into your power. And we'll answer your questions. We don't mind, but let's talk about your feet.
The right foot, the skin changes more than the left. So I have a lot more cracks on my right foot than the left.
And you're using Renew on that?
No, but I will.
Or do you like the cracked parts?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you find you kick more with your right foot?
Yes.
Do they think it's the cause?
Possibly, yes. I have a question about my right clavicle. I injured that a long time ago playing football, throwing the football.
So
and
when you lift your hand, it pops, and it still hurts to raise it. It pops. You can shake it in the shoulder, and you feel it wiggling, like crack, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And it hurts when you raise your hand up unto the sky.
Yes, but it seems to be getting better, but it's still a problem area for me.
Okay, then take your arm and like you're going to salute. You wouldn't do it with that hand, but take it like you're going to salute. So you hold your elbow 45 degree angle from your body. And then raise your hand up like you're going to salute. Like this, and then pull up your hand to salute. It catches. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Right on the clavicle area, yes.
Not like an ice pick hurts, but it's sore.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you know what skull crushers are?
No.
Find out what skull crushers are. And how much RNA are you up to?
36 twice a day. I'm starting to ramp back up because I was at 50 twice a day.
So you're getting enough. Okay. So do 3 sets of 10 skull crushers, 2, but then after you get okay with that, do it 3 times a week and go light, go lightweight. But you don't do anything that way. You'll be doing 100 pounds crazy shit. Don't do that. You'll hurt it more. Just go a little bit, okay?
Okay.
You're not He-Man, and you're not impressing us. We're not impressed. We're trying to make it better. You know, we're not trying for you to show out. So it's going to be very, 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 very painful. So don't get in a place where you want. This is where you're going to. This isn't like where you're in front of the crowd showing out your wonderfulness. All right?
I don't do that anyway.
Well, but we think you're wonderful, but we just don't want you to show us how wonderful. We want to get this part of you right. You do 3 sets of 10 rep skull crushers. You go over your
once
head.
A week?
Twice
a day?
A week.
With a,
twice a week.
Okay.
And then once you get old past the pain and quit cussing us and probably have a session or two with Dr. Dean, you might go to 3 times a week. But you want to do no military presses yet. No military presses. Did you hear
that? Yeah.
No military presses. But skull crushers, it pulls from the chest, the bottom of your pec. Okay, you know where your chest is?
Yes.
The bottom of the pectoral muscle, not the top, not the bottom. What the skull crusher is going to do is going to pull that. We want to beef that part of you up. And it'll also help with a little bit more definition, which you don't need, but it's okay. But we're talking about the shoulder. So I got to get the bottom of the pec up a little bit so that that muscle can get a new line so I can bypass this snapshot that you've got in your shoulder. Okay,
no,
so it's going to be sore, and it's going to hurt. Go lightweight, then do a little more, and don't cry. No crying.
I used to lift a lot of weights and the things, but now I'm getting larger now, Ian, and I'm not doing anything.
We know, we know.
I might do push-ups once a week, pull-ups once a week, or once every twice a week because I'm growing out of my clothes.
Well, that's good. God bless them clothes. Get some more clothes. Then get on your weight bar and do a little rope-a-dope. You know what rope-a-dope is? You get on the pull-up bar and go wide, pull yourself up, and then push yourself out from the bar.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, rope-a-dope. Then you'd put your chin on your right hand, and then come back and then put your chin on your left hand. And then a rope-a-dope. You all that in a bag of chips, bigger, you might as well.
I never even thought about that.
Go wide. Now go wide. Now, are you satisfied with your lats?
Yes, because, I mean, I may do pull-ups once or twice a month. I mean, I'm just getting big and I'm not doing anything. So if I do more, I'm going to be like a fucking gorilla.
We just said that you're all that in a bag of chips, but that we didn't want to hear that. Do you remember? Remember we had that conversation? That we were acknowledging.
Yeah.
We acknowledge that. And you don't do that anyway, but you doing that. So don't do that. So it's okay. We like that. And we're not saying that you're supposed to do all this. We're saying that you've been doing the things that we've asked you to do, which means you've been consuming some protein. And it's been pleasurable for you, has it not?
Yes, it has.
And you've been balancing your body and coming into your place, and you haven't been pushing against all this other crap, have you not?
No, I have not.
And so far, all these appendages that you think highly of, none of them have fallen off your meat sack body, have they?
No.
You've held on to them. There you go. There you go. Then what happens now, you see, you have more tactility, more vitality in your meat sack body. Then the cares of life start growing strangely dim. We're not trying to pump you up. We can whittle you down to nothing if that's what you desire. But that's not what we desire. What we desire is for you to be full in your body. Now, we want you to be able to be quick. So when you become a lumbering Abdullah the Giant, that doesn't help us. But you svelte does. So do a little of that, and then what happens is with the skull crushers, and then what happens is you're going to find that that'll loosen up, and it'll still pop, but you'll have no pain with it at all. Now, is your left shoulder?
Right shoulder.
Take your left index finger and touch the point on your shoulder. It's hard to reach, but you know what I'm saying, across your chest.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can touch right where it would hurt. Okay, now drop that down. Now, on with your right finger, that's the one that has the shoulder that's sore, do the same thing to your left shoulder. Touch where it would hurt if it were over there. Try that.
It's not that.
Look at that. There's a real live motherfucker, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what
we're
talking about. It's like, oh, my God, and that's not even, I was touching the other one, and this is the one that was hurting. This, whoa, this, you see, that's what we're talking about now. That's what we got to get past. So there's your little test. So when you can do that and it doesn't hurt, then you're there. But it is there, blah, 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 blah. Rub a little Renew on it at night. Or, now, you know, you're weird, so I'm going to let's back up. When you bathe, you remember? When you shower, you bathe.
Yeah.
After you get all that settled the way you like it, and you primp and look at yourself and all that kind of stuff, God bless that, then rub a little Renew on that. Just a drop. You don't need $100,000 worth like Bob uses, but just a little bit. Do your skull crushers and no crying. Now, there's a quiz. What else did we tell you to do?
Told me to do 3 sets of 10 twice a week.
And then once you build up a little and that's not so painful, you do it 3 times a week. And then once you get to 3 times a week, don't do it. But once you get to that place, ask us again. And then we're going to tell you to increase the weight just a little bit, but never more than like 45. And that's not necessary even to go that heavy. But once you get good at it, you can go to 45 and then go to failure. And once you're able to go to failure, what you're going to find is you never reach failure. You're going, Ion, that's just not the case. When you're lifting weights, at some point you go to failure. Sugar love, you fit them going to a place where you go to no failure. What? I can do it all night long? Yes, you can do it all night long.
That leads me to another question, Ion. For the last year or so, when I do train or go walking up a really steep incline, it seems weird that I get stronger when I have to exhale a lot. You know, when you normally you get out of breath.
No, you don't. That's what we're saying. You don't. The less oxygen is working better for you because you require less oxygen. So therefore, you don't get winded because you don't need oxygen in the first place.
Yeah, that's fucking weird, man. That's for me, for all my...
changing. Your environment is changing, and you're fitting into the changing environment. See, that's the thing. Ascension is not something you're supposed to do to get somewhere. We're saying you've got to ascend or you're not going to stay on this planet. And that's whether know it or not, or believe it or not, or like it or not, or want it or not, or don't. It don't make a fuck to us. We're happy. Our name is Gus. We're good. If the point is, we're trying to give you the heads up so you can take advantage of it if you want to.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I haven't rode a bike in 2 years and went out on a bike ride yesterday with hills and everything and tore it up.
It's good. And it also won't help your stamina, too, so you won't be quite so quick on the draw. We want to lengthen that a little bit. You get so excited, so excited.
Thank you, Ryan.
Learn how to get to that edge and then stop and hold on. That's a part of power, too. They love you a long time if you figure that out.
Can you tell us why you suggested we put, because they do apply Renew behind my earlobes?
Well, it varies for different people. But the reason you would do it is because it helps you have a tendency to have a bit of vertigo. It helps your vertigo. That swimmy, icky, almost car sticky kind of thingy, it takes care of that. But that's you. That's not for the whole wide world. That's just for you. But for the person we told it to, they were having issues with their thyroid. They were hypo and they needed to be hyper. We were going to suggest them to take synthyroid, and Dr. Dean liked to have a cow. So we decided we better go with a little Renew behind the ear so she didn't have our non-physicalness removed from her presidential thing. So.
For limited beliefs, if they wanted to change them or overlay them easier, do you suggest a certain place to apply the
Renew? It's just a thought. A belief is just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. So how you change it is just think of another one for a long time. And you'll change a belief. And then you'll start questioning. And if you can ever question, then you can nullify the whole conversation.
Just work on changing the thought.
No, replace them with a different thought. Give us the belief you want to change. We'll change it for you right now.
I guess belief in lack. Like, consciously, when I'm aware of it, I wouldn't be thinking of it. But there must be some beliefs that I'm not aware of that are of lack.
She says she believes in lack.
How do you convince yourself that you believe in lack if lack is a less than state of not enoughness? You would lack the, you've got it. We've broken this chain. The chain of pain has been broken. There is a lack of lack. You have a lack of lack.
That's why she believes in it.
You believe in it because there's not enough of it, because there's lack. Otherwise, you couldn't have that feeling place to know that you're overcoming lack to believe it because there's not enough of it. Well, if there's not enough of it, then you can't suffer from it. How do you suffer from lack when there's not enough of it in the first place? I mean, if you're not going to have a new car, you might as well not have a new one, right? So if you're talking about lack or to being lax of being free, being not bound, the only reason you're bound is because you bind you anyway.
I have another question on one of Katy Perry's older songs.
Yeah.
It's called E.T.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that song had any downloads or trip codes in it, because when the song first came out, I remember listening to it repeatedly. It was just one of those songs that I wanted to hear over and over and over. So sometimes I hear songs like that that I want to hear over and over. I was wondering if some trip codes would be embedded in those songs.
Are you bothered by those?
No, I like them.
Okay, and you're, what if it's an outside thing, is it necessary? You're saying that someone put something in the music that is a driving force to make you want it. Is that true?
Yeah.
And you're wanting to know if this particular song has those in it.
Yeah. I don't mind listening to it. I enjoy listening to it, so that's why I listen to it over and over. But it's not often where that I come across songs that I play on repeat. And I was wondering, because that I do play them on repeat, if there was a download or something in it for me.
This process is something you control. And so if you control it, then it doesn't make any difference. You're driving. You're driving any way you want. But there's not a team that's going around putting things in music to make you listen to their music more than another. Although it's a very clever and witty idea, but we assure you Lady Gaga would own it if that were the case.
That's not what I mean. I'm not asking if there's a team that puts something in songs that makes us want to listen to them over and over.
Exactly. So we're asking the question back to you. Do you desire it? Do you not desire it? What are you asking?
I am desiring, and when I listen to it, it's because it's my choice to listen to the song over and over again. But like I said, it's not often that I come across songs that I enjoy to that point where I listen to them over and over.
I mean, you'd like Dark Horse?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have an effect on whether or not you listen to music over and over. Sometimes we'll hide names and catchy phrases. Like, why in the world would non-physical speak of Little Boozy? Little Boozy? Are you kidding? But listen to none of that stuff. Get a little of that stuff. It's amazing. It's an up-and-comer for sure. You will see. We have an extraordinary, in the Android meme, we're pretty good at picking them so far.
Okay. And the shows that you suggested of Doctor Who, I'm up to the third show, the Pandora Open.
Yes, you like it.
Yeah, I do like it. In The Last of the Time Lords, I think. That one was actually the one where Jack Harness spoke about being the face of Bo.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. As a paper boy, they called him the face of Bo. And that's in his past, because in his future is when that's coming. But see, they've already done Catland in the face of Bo. And then this is the reference that they make after the fact. That's in New York. 13 New York. That many as it's been. Remember, that's where the cat nurses were meowing at people. They say there's great medical benefits for that, but we think it's a bunch of cat crap. Or you'll soon find you don't need a box full of cat crap to tell you that. That's not original to us. That's from Grandma, from the Squidbillies. Asses to ashes and sluts to dust.
Asses to ashes and sluts to dust.
That's the one.
Is there anybody from Beauchene in Dobstown?
Is there anybody in Beauchene in Dobstown? What's that mean? From Beauchene? Where is that?
Ian said he was from Boshian Peninsula.
And where is that?
Where the face of Bo's from.
It's off the moon, a moon of Poosh.
That's not in Dobbstown is sort of like nebulous. It's
Poosh.
Yeah. Dobbstown's wherever I am, and the website, Dobbstown.com.
Yeah,
no, it's not true. It's wherever Dicky Dack Dole Dobbs is. That
Dick Dobbs.
Devil.
Yeah, Dick. No,
Dicky Dado,
he's in Beauchamp.
Yeah,
he could be in
Beauchamp. There's a WWW involved in that.
So that's the face of Beau comes from the word Beauchamp?
That's the address, Beauchamp, is where the face of Beau lived, came from.
That's why it's named Beau, because it's from Beauchamp.
The face of Beau, yes. The paper
and you
boy.
You were speaking with Legend last week, and he asked, if there were others from Beauchamp, your response was, yeah, there were.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just make it up. You know, don't rely on anything I'm saying.
Not you. No, I am.
Not you, Bob.
Oh,
they never take you seriously. You proved that, Simon.
Well, that's a wise move.
Wise move, yes, indeed. No, we agree.
Ian responded to Legend's question, which was, are there others from Beauchamp Peninsula? And Ian said, yes, there were. And my question tonight was, if there are, then are they in Iondom or Dobbstown or?
They're floating about. They're afoot. They come and go. They float. You'll get there in just a little bit because you're almost there now where you're not bound by a realm. Certain level you'll find once you hit a certain point. That's why you shift and change. We start with like schools going through, then you get to certain levels. And when you hit certain levels, then all of a sudden it's very different. But all of a sudden you don't have a bad back and you don't have this and your little tutu works and you're busy getting busy and your coitus is right and you don't have it and you start eating food or don't eating food and doing right or don't doing right. You have these little schools. Then you go through and then we get a whole new round of kiggies. Here come in a kiki. Hey, kiki, come in here to the kiki. Kiki business going over that kiki. I get kiki straightened out. Then we get some others, and they come through. Then they get a little level, and they come to a certain place. And then you have master's course, and they sort of hang around all the time. And they start interacting with the other little ones that are coming along. And, oh, it's just great fun. And then you have these little pleasurable, fun interactions with ridiculous ones. And that's kind of fun, too, because they kind of play with it till they figure it out. Bob's already said he has to stay with you till you buy or die, so hey, he got nothing else going on, he might as well. It's easy. Mostly.
I have thalassemia anemic trait. I'm taking RNA drop, and an RNA drop will change my blood trait that I have?
It can, it will, but you want to increase it to some more. Like, you'll soon get it up to where it's like in the teaspoon level. But don't do it in a hurry. Do a little bit, like 10 drops twice a day. You can go up to it, but it certainly will make a shift. Now, do everything you're normally doing until it changes. Then what happens is they'll look at this and they'll go, wait a second, you don't have this anymore. What are you doing? You go, oh, nothing. It just got better, and then move on, because you're not going to convince them anyway.
I'm taking half a pill a day.
That's good. Do you have the most current generation 108?
I still have some of the previous order.
When you finish that up, the next generation will kick you into 108, and that'll put you into light speed. You'll notice that there won't be any question, is this different? You'll know it. They're already starting to take on about it. Her little inbox is filled with folks taking on.
Is that a way for me to notice when my blood starts changing?
You can have them pull blood gases on you, but it's kind of painful. Why don't you give it a little bit, and then just when they do a regular blood draw, like if you're going to have chest done, notice it then. How about that?
Okay. Well, I have my blood checkup once a year anyway, so.
If you get anxious, you can do it before that. They can pull a CBC, and it'll be fun. You have Rh negative as an antibody, do you not?
I don't know.
You do, and it's going to change to positive. Or it's not going to change to positive, it's going to go away. But it'll change to positive first before it goes away. And then you'll know. That'll be fun. That's good. Okay. And you're happy in your body?
I'm starting to feel better.
Well, of course, darling. We know that. We know that. But I'm saying, is there something else you need a little help with? We give you a little help. We're good for something. We're not as good as we once were, because now we're really coming into our power, which is bad. We want you to come into your power. But we're not as good as we once were, but we're as good once as we ever were, darling. You got that something, something. We'll help you with it if you'd like.
My physical body's still not 100% that I would love it to be. I still have back pain.
Okay, you take your left hand and lay it on the top of your head, just on the top of your head, and leave it there for a little bit. Whenever your back hurts, do that. Just lay it on top of your head, like a cover.
Okay.
And do that for a little bit, 5-10 minutes, and then move, and you'll find it'll get easy. But we'll work on it. Give us like a night. Give us a night, because we got the T thing we got to do. We got to do the T thing. We promised that. We got to straighten out that, and that's going to be a white-knuckle flight. And we got to get Sheila happy. You know how Sheila is. We got to keep her happy, because that's a big chore. She's a big job. We love us and Sheila, though, man. You dad up on the weekend, man. You need to know that. There's no question there. Hey, she's dope. That's the way you need to know on that old business so good. But that's no problem. We can work on that. But get the back straightened out and...
I have went through the anxiety, depression, what they call, but I'm not really depressed, but...
It's your thyroid. You should talk to Dr. Dean about your thyroid. You're a little bit hyper, and you need to be hypo.
And I'm taking a Remax.
You should take a lot of it, and that'll help balance it.
Well, what I do is I put the Remax in my bottle of water, and I sip it through the whole day.
That's good, but none of the JWs do. They just pound a teaspoon twice a day.
Oh, okay.
But now that's what they do. That's what all of them do. But now that doesn't mean what you do. You do what Dr. Dean says to do.
All right. I will call Dr. Dean on Monday.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. And we got the back thing, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Anna.
You know you're welcome eternally. Y'all have fun in TTFN.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.